Oh yeah, it's about that time, everybody, for GPW Weekly, hosted by Steve Aaron, along with the Macho Ghost. So give it up.
Give it up indeed. Welcome into your weekly dose of global professional wrestling entertainment. I'm your host, Steve Aaron, along with the Macho Ghost. Hey, what's happening, Mach?
Ooh, yeah, here I am, Steve and Martez. Excellent to be on the airwaves with you once again this week. Yeah, busy week,
And Martez Hale, of course, manning the controls at Houston.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely happy to be back on with you guys, too.
And our special guest host for the second week in a row, our co-host, we welcome in my good friend, the Amazing Turtle.
Cowabunga, dudes, I'm here.
Turtle, don't you have a job?
Of course I do. I just happen to be off today.
So I like it. After training and doing your cardio and taking a nap and carbo loading, now you're calling into the show, right?
That's exactly right.
No ice cream in your hands this week.
I actually ate it already, so no ice cream in my hands right now.
And, Steve, if we happen to somehow weirdly hear a woman's voice while we're talking to Turtle, that's Miranda Wright's. Do you understand?
I do understand. Thank you for clarification. My goodness, has it been a wacky week. But tonight, it's going to take all four of us to batten down these hatches, because in just a few minutes, we will be joined by a Midwest, I'm not going to even say Midwest independent. This guy is a legend. He's the greatest secret in the industry of professional wrestling, and we got him for about a half hour tonight. I don't think I even need to introduce him. Turtle knows who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. One of the best, if not in the Midwest, probably in the country.
Mm. He is the best wrestler that you have never seen on television, but should probably see on television weekly. He is the sexy mofo that is one Bryce Benjamin, and he will be appearing September 7th at High Road as he makes his global professional wrestling debut, and we'll talk to him a little bit about what he's going to be doing the night of September 7th. Plus, you know, the man has a storied career like none other. He has got factions he's belonged to. He's been part of legendary tag teams. That group of people that he had over in Kaiju, the following, that was some scary business. So we're going to talk about all of it tonight. We're going to talk to Bryce in just a little bit and kind of find out what makes the sexy mofo tick. We're certainly going to be a lot sexier tonight than we are most nights, although we were pretty sexy when Chana Reed was our guest a few weeks ago, weren't we?
They call me the Macho Man. Yeah. And
okay,
now it's a Steve,
that.
Which is like a big slab of big beefcake. And then we got Martez over there. Yeah, the personification of religious beauty. And then we got Turtle, a man who's so handsome, he has to stay inside a shell most of the day because the women would be fainting all over.
Totally right. Totally
yes, that
right.
Martez, he is the sexiest pontiff on the planet.
I believe
I do what
pontiff
I can.
Is the Pope. I don't know if Seth Martez has made it that far yet.
We're working on it. No. We're gonna champion that cause coming up soon here on GPW Weekly.
I'm all right.
Martez, you could be the Pope of GPW.
That
what do you mean?
Good.
Could
I gotta
he
get this.
Is.
Nah, I got to get this minister thing right first, you know.
Well, you got to crawl before you can walk and run. That is certainly the truth. Yeah. Before we bring in Bryce, let's talk a little bit about what went down this past weekend. Turtle was there. Turtle was largely responsible for its success. And it was our big charity event in Tinley Park to support cancer awareness. And what a great event it was. Hopefully you've all had a chance to see some of the photos and the videos online. Turtle, was that fun?
you know, it was pretty stressful in the beginning, you know, with the setup, not knowing what was going on because, you know, they moved a little bit in their location a little, and
yep.
we didn't know where to set up. But after everything was set up and the show went on, I was pretty happy with it. I was pretty much stress-free, and I never, you know, been proud of a show in my life until that day.
You know, it really did give me a bit of a reminder as to why I love this business and love being in this position that I'm in. With all the things going on of late, some of that gets a little mucked up, but boy, the boys and the gal let it all hang out on Sunday, and it was quite a festive occasion. And boy, we saw some great matches. We saw Cypher and Big T, the war of the wild side as it comes apart completely, continued.
Thank God, Metalhead and Cypher are still buddies, though. Like, if they needed, like, if Cypher was somewhere, and, like, if I don't think he has a driver's license, but if he did and his car broke down, I think he would call Metalhead, and the Metalhead would, like, come and change his tire for him or give him a ride to the local dealership. That's what kind of relationship they have. Whereas if it was Big T, he would probably say he was coming to help you, and then when he got there, he would beat you with your own tire iron.
Wow, that is oddly specific, but probably accurate. another match.
It's a common thing that happens to a lot of people.
Indeed, it does. We also had the debut of Sky Blue, or as I have been corrected recently, Sky Bruise. I had no idea she was TJ's little sister, so that's news. But she lit up the Tinley Park American Legion parking lot. That's for sure. All the fans that were out there took notice of her, and she had a intergender match. Well, I mean, I guess we can call it that. I mean, nobody really knows what Go Baldy is any more than we know what Fester is. That whole sideshow thing, that's confusing and weird, but it's like a car crash. You want to look away, but you just can't.
Yeah, like the car crash when Cypher's car wasn't working. Yeah, you drive by and you take a look at that because he's 8 feet tall wearing a mask.
And there we go. Okay, so we had that match. Then Turtle got back into the ring with his old friend with a score to settle and got a little bit of retribution, a little payback on Metalhead. I thought you did very well,
you made,
Turtle.
You made a liar out of me because of that.
Tell me why.
Remember last week I told Stacey Sparkles that I was taking the high road and I was going to leave Metalhead alone. Well, because of you, I had to give him a couple stunners and punch him in the face a few times.
Well, you certainly gave him what have you, and that was quite a match. It rolled out into the crowd, and boy, it had everybody hopping.
And Turtle, it's not a lie. If fate put you in a position you didn't plan to be in.
That's right. Yeah, it's not a lie. You had no idea what was going to happen, so I think your integrity with young Stacy is just fine.
Well, that's good.
Cool number one super fan.
She is indeed. And then we had, of course, the main event. I just posted that video from the Articulator Steve Kenton's page today. What a fun match that was. Big Daddy Dino versus Jay Cross and what ended up being a false count anywhere match. And it should have been a false count everywhere match because they went everywhere.
It was an old Park Avenue street fight.
It was amazing, and I had to block the bouncy house, or those children would have been in big trouble. Turtle, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't looking forward to that if they went in there. That would have been
dirty. And you had to do the officiating.
Dirty.
You had the difficult task there. How do you officiate trying to drown someone in a dunk tank?
I honestly, that was a first for me. Well, I mean, I have done it where there was water involved, but a dunk tank, that was a new one for me. And I didn't know how to do it, understand how to what to do, if I had to give someone CPR. I mean, we all know what happened last time I tried to give someone CPR. I didn't know what I was doing. And that match was, I think that match topped the triple threat match from last year, which I believe Jay Cross was involved in that as well.
Well, Jay Cross certainly did yeoman's work and gave us a little tribute to a certain Texas rattlesnake there at the end with the beer bath. I thought that was a nice touch. Then we had a battle royal in which Sky Bruise, or Sky Blue, whatever you'd like to call her, she went over, you know, after Cypher took a swing at me. She was very opportunistic and got the big fella out over the ring. So quite an unexpectedly brisk show. And the fans seemed to like it. We gave away a lot of flyers, and, you know, a lot of people there, a lot of our new biker friends thought they might make their way to Posen for High Road. So it was a great event. We had a great time, raised some money for charity, raised some cancer awareness. So all in all, that's why we do what we do, and we love it so much. I think I speak for everybody at GPW that was there. It was truly a family affair. And, you know, even though the setup and a little uncertainty at the beginning, it certainly worked out great. And by the end, while you were sitting there enjoying your cheeseburgers, Turtle, we certainly had some satisfaction, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I went home, or actually, I went to bowling with
bowling.
A smile.
Yes. So, once again,
we got to give credit to you guys for pulling together a good event for such a good cause. And, yeah, all the credit in the world. Yeah, Martez and I were talking about it earlier today at lunch when we were going over the show notes. And, yeah, we just want to tell you, you guys are awesome.
Wow. What did Martez have for lunch?
The BLT without the B.
Oh, that,
no,
hey, that's pretty scary. I think that's what I had.
I know, I was there. And first of all, I just want to say two things, Steve. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupt so much.
He is the Macho Ghost for a reason.
This is true. He's everywhere and nowhere all at the same time.
I talk so loud, I don't even know anyone's talking until I stop to take a breath.
Riding in on that unicorn-driven chariot each and every week here on GPW Weekly and on that wrestling show. So
15 unicorns and a flying cow and a solid steel neon orange chariot. If you ever see me, stop by and say hello, but don't touch it because it's expensive. Turtle, I wanted to say, I believe if you're ever involved in a referee situation where someone is underwater, I believe if they drowned, technically that counts as a submission victory.
Yeah, I guess if you can't breathe, you'd have to. It would be considered tapping, but not verbally.
Exactly. That's like passing out from the pain. I've done that before. And Steve, I think with Sky Bruise or Sky Blue, whatever her name is, I think she'll tell you exactly what her name is right after she slapped you in the face.
Well, I mean, boy, on social media this week, I have been taking a pounding. You have a bad week, and everybody holds you accountable for everything you say and do, but that's okay. My shoulders are big enough to handle it, and we're moving on to High Road, and it's going to be a great event, and it's going to be a great event because we have great matches. And the Triple Threat, which is not yet sealed, you've got T and Turtle. Just having those two in it alone is going to make it very entertaining. Right now, the leader at the clubhouse in the voting ends next Wednesday, Bo Tatum is actually leading. I'm not exactly sure if Bo Tatum is someone that would participate in a Vision Division match, so we'll have to wait and see that one. But the voting is still open, and lots of votes out there. The GPW Nation has cast many a vote, and I appreciate that. Keep those votes coming. Whoever gets the most is going to get that third spot. I might have to pay Bo Tatum more to do a Vision match, but we'll do what we got to do to make the fans happy.
Now, Steve, you're pretty sneaky and sidewindy lately. Now, who would you like to see? I know you'll probably lie to throw everyone off the scent, but who would you like to see in there? I'm sure you've left it up to the fans. I'm winking. You just can't see me.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, there's so many people that are deserving of title opportunities. I really have no preference. I just want it to be a good match, and that's the politically correct answer. Martez, have we had any knocks that I've missed?
Not at all. But I'm following it closely.
That's the way Jesus. That's the way Bryce Benjamin rolls. Because it's basically his world. We're all just living here. So he'll call when he's ready to call, and then we'll just talk to him about all sorts of stuff.
Hey, Steve, do you guys still sell your fish sticks? Even though you're retired from the ring, you still sell fish sticks? Because I got an idea for a side dish.
Okay, well, hey, I'll take any ideas for side dishes.
Both Tatum tots!
Both taters.
Both taters.
Both tater tots, yeah, get it?
We should market that, Turtle. That's brilliant.
Except instead they're not like the little hash brown things the size of a ball of thread. They're like full-sized potatoes. Man, there's nothing like dead air.
Did you hear that knock?
I'm sorry. Did I hear a knock?
Yeah,
I think
we have a knock.
We have a knock
at the door means someone's on the phone.
Okay. Well, then we're just going to bring him right in. But Martez, let's play that little nugget of gold to introduce our special guest. You got the tape ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
I got started in pro wrestling as a kid, about 5. My grandmother got me into watching it, and from there, that moment on, I knew I was going to be a pro wrestler. The Macho Man and Shawn Michaels are probably my biggest influences in wrestling. Anybody who watches me can kind of see that when I try to go out there and be myself more free. With John Morrison, that was a big thing. I was a fan of his, so getting to be in the ring with him was like a dream come true. It was awesome, and we seem to have really good chemistry. There's a lot of great talent in Chicago. A lot of great wrestlers have come out of Chicago, and there's been a lot of people that have said to me that, you know, I am the wrestling's greatest secret, and I'm the personification of, like, just pure greatness. And I look at them and I tell them it's a lot of pressure, but you're absolutely right. I 100% believe that I am one of the best. Not the best, but one of the best in Chicago. When I'm out there and when I want to be, I'm untouchable.
Alright, stop. Collaborate and listen. Right to back with the brand new jacket. Don't get it confused. This ain't vanilla ice. That ain't your ice. Baby, get the right price, baby. And I'm back to show you all how I get.
Anyway, if that doesn't whet your appetite for what's about to happen, then you just don't follow wrestling very good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to GPW and to GPW Weekly. The sexy mofo, he is a man of 1,000 identities. It is the one and only Bryce Benjamin. Bryce, thanks for joining us tonight on the show.
Yo, thanks for having me, and I'm going to whet a lot more than appetites.
And there's no doubt about that. That little footage courtesy of Zello Pro Wrestling, that was a little vignette you cut for them a bit ago, a few years. You have wrestled just about everywhere. I've watched your travels on social media. You've been in this country. You go everywhere. What drives you to do what you do?
Some people say that, you know, passion will get you far and it drives people. But for me, this is just simply what I was born to do. So that's pretty much it.
Now, the first time I saw you wrestle live was way back in the days of a promotion called Crash Tested Wrestling, where it was you and Acid Jazz as the N-Words. But you have been so many different people. Where do you get the creative drive to make these amazing characters?
Well, most of the characters are just honestly extensions of myself. Like everybody, nobody's one thing. You know? We got very in-depth personalities, so I do my best to every now and then bring one of those to the forefront.
So when in that little vignette that we heard where you were talking about young Bryce, you know, grandma watching wrestling, kind of take us through that when you're a little kid and you're exposed to it to the first time. What was that moment that you were watching that clicked and made you say, well, I can't imagine myself doing anything else but this?
It was the barbershop interview with the Rockers at the time. Shawn Michaels had just came back, and things were a little rocky between him and Marty. But he assured him that, you know, they're going to be Rockers for life, and then he super kicked him and threw him through the window. And it was in that very moment that I knew I want to do this. Probably I want to be Shawn Michaels. That's what I told my grandmother anyway.
That is certainly one of the more iconic moments in the history of this sport. And you have fashioned yourself you know, the thing that I've always enjoyed about you and, you know, what you represent is, you know, you're one of those guys that kind of transcends wherever you go. You know, they're usually pretty steadfast heels. They're pretty, you know, over babies. There aren't many people that walk that line, and I've always thought that was what was so brilliant about you, because no matter where you go, no matter what you are or what you do, you know, the people will cheer you, they'll boo you, but they sometimes don't even know what to make of you. What do you attribute that appeal?
Just going out there and being myself mostly. Like, no matter where I go, no matter what style of company it is, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do me. And I think that that's what people gravitate towards. They see that and they feel that, and they may not even know it, but that's what attracts them to me.
How long have you been a professional wrestler? When did you start? Where did you get trained? How did that come about?
I got trained back in 2002 for a promotion used to be NCW back in the day with Brian Zinner and Eric Priest. Eric Priest was the head trainer. So that was my training facility. My first show ever was for MSPW for DDS, Delicious Danny Scott. Again, in 2002, I only trained for about a month before I got my first match, not because I was amazing or anything or didn't need training, but I was just I picked it up really fast. I was kind of a natural at it, so they needed spots filled, and I was there for that spot.
Now, I've had a chance to watch wrestlers train, you know, at the GPW school, and I've watched people come in brand new and cut their teeth and get their feet wet. How do you know when you're ready to actually get in there in front of people in a match? Do you just go in there and try your best, or does something in your head say, yeah, I'm ready for this?
Well, for me, it was a luck of the draw. I guess I was right place, right time. They needed somebody to fill a spot, and Priest told him, like, you know, that Bryce can do it. Like, he can get through it. He's a good kid. He can listen, so he'll be all right through it. And, yeah, so I kind of just kind of got thrown in there and kind of started learning on the job.
And a lot of people that I've talked to that are trainers and teach wrestling say that sometimes the best way to do is if you have good listening skills and you cooperate, that learning on the job is often the best way. Now, based on your training and your history, you have become quite a respected trainer yourself. Do you take what you learned back then, and does that dictate how you do the training when you take young wrestlers under your wing?
Oh, absolutely. Like, a lot of what I teach is all the things that I was taught, and then I've over the years learned to add my own little twist to things and do things the way that, you know, I want to see them be done rather than how it was taught to me. So yeah, like, everything goes back to, like, where I was trained, when I was trained, who I was trained by. I take those things, I adapt them to my own style.
I don't think, I mean, I guess the great trainers are never really looking for the credit, but I don't think people realize how many successful wrestlers, whether it be indie related or, you know, wrestlers that have gone to higher levels, how many hands you've had in training some of the most entertaining acts in professional wrestling. Do you find that especially gratifying when one of your pupils makes good? Is that what drives you to do it?
Oh, absolutely. There's been plenty of times where, you know, I get to the point where I'm like, all right, what am I doing? How long am I going to keep doing this for? And after I got my kids to go out there and they make something themselves, and that absolutely gives me some kind of, like, fulfillment, where it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll never get my shot, but at least I'm helping new people get theirs. So definitely I take some pride in that. And when they do well, I think it reflects back well on me. So, yeah, I definitely have some gratification when it comes to that.
Is this a, you know, because of the weekend in Chicago here, is this one that's especially gratifying for you?
Yeah, yeah. I assume you're alluding to Kylie Rae.
Yes.
Yeah. Day one when she came to me and started training, like, I always saw something special in her, and she didn't at the time. It was when she's really hard on herself, and that's when I knew that she was going to be something good, and she chose to be because of how hard on herself she was.
Yeah, that is an amazing. I remember the first time I saw her wrestle She had one show at Crash Tested, and the minute we saw her on commentary do anything, we were like, well, we're not going to see her around here much longer. Mm-hmm. She's got bigger and better things to do. It's unmistakable when you see somebody that you just that has that it factor, and you can see what's coming even if they don't. But I remember the first time we saw her. And then, you know, I was told by one of the other vets in the locker room that, you know, she was a product of your tutelage. And then when you watch her move, you can see it. And I think yeah. that what is so cool about being a trainer, at least from an outsider's perspective like mine, is that when you see them in the ring doing their thing, there are moments where it's like, yep, that's a reflection of me. And you have to – is it almost like a fatherly pride in a way?
Oh, absolutely. I call all my students my kids, and that's how I view it. Like, you know, I'm the dad, they're my children. So, yeah, they, yeah, absolutely, you can see it. And I'm not the only one that sees it. I got friends who know me who will watch people wrestle that I've trained, and they will send me text messages like, man, when they took this certain thing, they look just like I saw you in there, which is kind of cool. But then I'm like, yeah, these kids stealing my shit. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're not talking about you in the past tense, like you know, you're creating opportunities for the next generation. You're very active here and now, and you know, I've been watching with great interest over the past few years of what you had going at Kaiju with the following. That was phenomenal, and that is such a creative idea, and the creepy factor that was going on there was unbelievable. Where did that come from?
That whole character came up, well, the name-wise anyway, came up kind of by accident. Like, I was just being me in the locker room and joking around, and it was actually a machine who, whatever I did, like, it blew his mind, and he was just like, Jesus, Bryce, yeah? And that's where I got the name from. And then the characters, you know, we all got a little dark side to us, yeah?
That's, I'll agree with that, but that gimmick was so over, and you know, it's so hot and so exciting that you've got fans and people in the know creating video game characters about you.
yeah, which is really cool. Like, I like seeing it. Hopefully someday I'll get to actually be in a video game.
And I'm just here to tell you right now, I am not offended that you whipped my ass up and down the ring in 3 minutes.
Well, if I didn't, then we have a problem, wouldn't we? Yeah.
That's what he said. You know, I'm not a wrestler, but it was an honor to share a video ring with you for 3 minutes. Now here you are. You've agreed to stop, make a stopping point in your career at Global Professional Wrestling. And, you know, it's the first time I'm going to have a chance to work with you since the Crash-Tested Wrestling days. I mean, you can work anywhere. When I reached out to you, what about Global made you say, maybe I will work there for a minute?
Oh, well, you know, mainly with you. So I've known you from Crash Tested, and, like, we've always had a good rapport amongst each other. So once you asked me, like, it wasn't even a question for me. It was like, yeah, I got no problems coming and working with you guys. And I always like places that are kind of small and, like, new and, like, trying to make their way in this guy. I always like being a part of, you know, things like history, as opposed to going somewhere already established and kind of being another fish in the pond. I can go and be a part of something and watch it grow around me, yeah?
Oh, no doubt. And there's no doubt that you've increased our sexy quotient by hundreds of thousands of points on September 7th.
I tend to do that.
And you tend to do that. That is absolutely your calling card, and I'm banking on that, literally. One of your friends is current GPW champion. You and Marche Rocket have gone up and down the road together a few times.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's more than a friend. Marche is one of my brothers, yeah? And me and we're family.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the most exciting wrestling photos I've seen this year was the new incarnation, sort of the N-Words, where it was you, Acid, and Marche. That is such an interesting gimmick, and I still remember very fondly those Crash Tested days when they would introduce the champs, and NWA would come out with the song would come over the speakers, and then you guys would come out and take over a room like I've never seen a room taken over. I mean, commanding everybody's attention, It's like the show, if the show wasn't up at that point, the show would come up. It would be a bar raiser. What about that particular tag team? Obviously, it's no secret. It's one of my favorites that you do. What about that tag team? It makes it so energetic and changes the conditions of a room whenever you arrive.
I think it's just the level of just fun that me and Jack will bring to the party. You know, like we go out there and we enjoy tagging with each other. So, again, I think the crowd can just feed off of that. We're having a good time, so I think that makes them have a good time. And whether they know it or not, that's what's happening. But bottom line is everybody wants to be in anywhere, you know?
Yeah, I'm telling you, when that music hits and those curtains open and those guys come out, it is absolutely electric. And that never was it not electric. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted you so bad to come to Global, because, you know, whether you're with Jazz, without Jazz, you know, whatever you're doing, when Bryce Benjamin walks through a curtain, people stand at attention and the barometer in the room changes. And I think that's a testament to what your career has meant to everybody that's ever seen you. And I think that you're going to bring something to Global that we haven't had. And I'm looking forward to seeing the fan reaction when the sexy mofo comes out and just takes over the room like only he can do.
Well, yeah, you know, they say time is money. Well, my time makes money.
This is absolutely accurate. Now, I'm fanboying here a little bit. You know, I've got other co-hosts here. I've got the Turtle. I've got the Macho Ghost. Guys, I'm going to yield the floor to you for a moment to ask any questions you might have, since I've monopolized the man's time maybe a little too much. Guys, you got any questions for this guy?
Oh, I'll hand it. Jesus Christ, Benjamin, welcome to the show. I'm going to hand it over to the Turtle first because I talk too much.
Turtle.
Am I turtle going up in Turtle Club? I guess the only question is that when you had the other gimmick get crash tested, you brought out a cardboard cutout of a lady. What was her name, and do you still have her?
Oh, Queen Liz. She always rolls with us. You know, the N-words don't really go too many places without Queen Liz. Yeah, she's our main squeeze. Ride or die.
I had momentarily forgotten about that. That was amazing. I just
how
got
you
a chill
about
in the
Liz,
back of my neck. That
on.
Was so cool.
You know,
you
Queen
guys
Liz
fight
that
over
with
her?
The N-words together. No. We got an understanding. You know, Queen Liz is my squeeze, and you know, Jazz is always there, and he got our backs. Yeah.
Interesting.
Love it. Macho Ghost, what do you got for Bryce Benjamin?
Oh, yeah, Bryce Benjamin, welcome to the show. It's finally good. I'm glad to hear your voice. I've seen you on the interwebs many times. I've never seen you in person that you know of. But here it's good to be talking to you right now. And I like to hear that I was one of your influences growing up.
Absolutely. Without you, there would be no Bryce Benjamin. There would be no Queen Liz.
Oh, man, Steve, listen to that. Next time you're telling me I don't make any sense, listen to what Bryce Benjamin just said.
It would be hard to forget what he just said.
Make that your ringtone.
I will work on that after the show, Botch.
Boy, now, Bryce Benjamin, like Steve was alluding to, you got many different personalities, many different factions. You got the NW Hordes, and then you got the following. Now, does either one of those, which one do you like better? Do I have to ask you to pick between one of your children? And as a follow-up, speaking of following, now that Kaiju is kind of, you know, dormant right now until another nuclear bomb goes off, where's the following? Are they still together? What's up?
Me and my children will always be together, and if I had to choose between my brother and my children, I'll have to choose my children because they are, you know, from the fruit of my own loins, that's to say. But the following, we're always around, and you never know where it might pop up.
Oh, man, Steve, they might be outside the studio right now. Turtle, go out there and look.
That was such a great answer. That was such a great answer. Well, I'm not going to wait too long then because Bryce is taking time out of his schedule. He's got things to do after this. So let's get into September 7th and High Road. Wanted to bring Bryce Benjamin in. Not only for the GPW fans to enjoy it, but I had a situation last month at the show where Our friend Tom Heisman hooked up with his old tag team buddy Creed, and they brought back the Youth Gone Wild, and then the fans had a good time, and then all of a sudden, after the show was over, okay, we're not doing this again. So, you know, thanks for nothing. And I was a little cheesed off, honestly, because I had plans for that as general manager to do some things with.
What do you, expect from a couple of punks? You can't trust them.
Clearly. But I feel like Tom Heisman has kind of been running a little bit higher, you know, thinking he's better than, you know, everybody there. He's run down Mitch Blake. He's run down Authority. Kind of has that holier-than-thou attitude. Well, what better way to tame a wild horse than to bring in the man that has busted more Broncos in his career than the Lone Ranger? So we brought Bryce Benjamin in to kind of take Tom Heisman down a peg or two.
Man, there was a lot of cowboy metaphors, similes, analogies in there.
Well, you know what? It's kind of what it is. Sometimes you gotta calm the filly down and put a harness on him and keep him in check. And you know, I certainly can't do that myself. But you know, I know Bryce Benjamin has beaten many man and embarrassed many a man over his career. And you know, when you're looking for help, I mean, why not bring in a superhero like the Lone Ranger or a Bryce Benjamin? So now that we've let the cat out of the bag, your match is going to be against Tom Heisman. What are your thoughts on this, a man that you've known over the course of your career through a couple of meetings?
Well, no, the thought's simple. You know, Tom Heisman may think that he's the best and think that he's on the top of his game, but he's never been in a ring with the best or someone who is always on the top of his game. So, you know, you need Heisman broken. You know, I can definitely break that horse. And, yeah, so I'm definitely the man for the job. So Tom's going to learn one way or another that, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best, as Ric Flair would say.
No doubt about that. Those are words, hopefully, right from God's lips to Tom Heisman's ears. And
right from the horse's mouth!
Exactly, indeed.
I'm trying to play along.
And just for the record, Bryce Benjamin, for doing me this favor on September 7th show, he will be rewarded in upcoming shows if he comes back with title opportunities, because anybody that does me a favor, I have to give them, you know, there's got to be something in it for you. And I know Bryce Benjamin is a big fan of gold.
Absolutely. I like the gold. I like silver. I like it all. Like I said, my time is money.
Now, before Turtle starts coming in here screaming about how unfair Steve is, Bryce Benjamin, I got to whisper to you. I know you've known Steve a long time, but I've known him longer. You can't trust him. So watch your back, watch your front, and then have someone look underneath your shoes, too.
Well, Bryce has got three faces, so I think I got that covered.
He's also got friends at Global, so you know, you're certainly not gonna do anything underhanded to a man with the legend that is Bryce Benjamin. But also, you know, doing harm to Bryce would not rub our champ the right way either. So I don't think you have to worry about any shenanigans from a overzealous GM at this point. But Tom Heisman versus Bryce Benjamin, you have two kind of iconic figures in Midwest independent wrestling. Tom Heisman was big in the PCW days. Bryce Benjamin has been big wherever he's gone. And I've seen you two lock horns at least briefly when Tom Heisman was a member of The Rage. Again, I hearken back to the crash-tested days, and some of those N-word Rage feuds were pretty impressive and got pretty heated. We saw some pretty spectacular things. So I think, you know, given that history, I would imagine September 7th is going to be pretty spectacular too.
Anytime I step foot in the ring, you can guarantee it'll be spectacular.
All right, so Bryce Benjamin, September 7th, high road against Tom Heisman. Let's look to the future. You have been wrestling a while. You have been a trainer for a while. Where do you see yourself going in this industry? Or, I mean, is there a ceiling? Have you achieved all you wanted to achieve? What's next for Bryce Benjamin?
I mean, the goal was always to be a professional wrestler, so I've done that. And as far after that, it's wherever the roads take me. I don't put a cap on myself. I don't know where I'll go. I don't think too far ahead future-wise, because I take each day as they come. So who knows?
Looking
back, man, I got a question.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Match.
Hey, Bryce, now my information may be incorrect here because I never do any reading before the show. That way I ask better questions. Now that Kaiju is kind of on the break, are you not still the Kaiju wrestling champion?
I am still the Kaiju champion, possibly the last Kaiju champion, because that is where I belong. I'm great. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not saying anyone's taking it from you. I'm just saying you're not going to have some chances to defend it. So are you thinking of maybe just like going to the mall or the grocery store and picking fights with people?
Maybe. You never know. Maybe stop in a few churches and, you know, teach them how the story really goes.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, that's a bumper sticker right there. Put that right on a T-shirt. Let's clear this up real quick before I ask a couple of final questions for Bryce.
Let's clear this up. Shelton Benjamin's your cousin, right?
I don't think that's that true.
I cannot confirm nor deny that statement.
All right, Martez, write that down. Don't forget to ask Martez if he has a question. He's always got a good one in his back pocket. I'll be quiet now.
I will ask him.
Okay.
Kaiju Attack Wrestling is simply on a hiatus. They are not done by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure they will be back and better than ever, and I'm sure the champ will be back and better than ever when they do return. So, and I still haven't had a chance to get out to a Kaiju show, so I'll look forward to that opportunity when they run again. But like I said, gone, but not gone for long from what I hear. So, champ, I'm sure you'll have many, many an opportunity to defend many a more title in the very unique Kaiju way that is that has made every fan happy that has ever gone to a show.
Of course.
Martez, do you have a question for Bryce Benjamin?
Yeah. Hey, Bryce, how you doing? What was it like the first time an official or GM decided to put you over in a match? What was that like, the first time they told you that you were going to go over?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. I go out there, I work hard, so when he told me I'm winning, I'm, you know, yeah, of course.
Okay. I can dig it.
Another good question from Martez. Now, that leads me to another question, Bryce. Now, starting out, and as you know, training a lot of youngsters, starting out, does a newcomer technically lose a lot of matches right off the start, or do you ever have some people where you throw them out there and they're like winning right off the bat?
I mean, that's entirely on them. They have to go out there and prove their worth. If they got the breed of a winner, then they win. If they don't, then they don't.
That is the answer of the evening right there. Your career, you've been up and down the road and then back again. Can you give me a couple of matches that you've had historically that you're the most proud of? Maybe give me two or three examples of matches that you sat back after the show was over and you're like, man, that was the best I could do. That went great. Give me some examples of what Bryce Benjamin considers his high moments.
I don't think I've had my best match yet. This is far from over. So I can't tell you what I think the best match is, but there are a handful of matches that I thoroughly enjoyed and still enjoy. That'll be me and Jazz, actually, against Isaias Velasquez and Craig Mitchell at Freelance. It was a tag team match, and we were just firing on all cylinders, and everybody was out there, and everything just was so perfect in my eyes. So that's a match I can always go back and look at and not hate it. Me versus John Morrison at Zello was actually one of my favorite matches. It was like an honor for me to get to go in there and work with someone who I had watched over the years. So, yeah, I can look back at that match and enjoy everything we did and just see that, you know, we had a good time. So, and I got to say, probably me versus Kylie Ray at Kaiju. Like, I always love getting to go in there and work with my students. So any match I've ever had, one of my kids is always good for me, too. I enjoy those a lot.
I've seen footage of the Kylie Ray match, and I don't think there are many wrestling fans that haven't seen the video display of you versus John Morrison, that was fantastic as well. Cello's got a great product. Are there people out there right now that you haven't yet had the opportunity to work that you would like to work at some point in the future? Are there, you know, anybody running around out there that's like, haven't really had the chance, but I'd love to get a chance?
I'm going to be honest with you. I barely watch wrestling nowadays. I haven't really watched wrestling consistently in about probably 10 years just due to it not being the same anymore. So if there's people out there, I probably don't know by name, but I mean, I like getting there with anybody. So I can't say that there's somebody that's on my list. I don't really have a list. Now, I'm in here just doing what I do, and I love getting there and do it with anybody who wants to do it with me.
Wow, one question brings up another, and I love that part of the interview process. You made a great point in saying that wrestling is not the same as it used to be. Why do you think that is?
My honest opinion has a lot to do with the boys. Like, the boys let the business turn into something that it shouldn't be, something that it's not. I don't know if it's from a lack of caring or just misguidance, but no one goes out there anymore and really want to make people care. It's more about doing moves and hitting spots as opposed to actually making the people care.
Now, do you suppose that's on the boys, or do you suppose that's on management who's telling them you got 5 minutes, do all your usual shtick, and get out of there as fast as you can? What do you think about that?
Well, no matter what, I think it all boils down to it's on the boys, because if all the boys get together and say, no, things have to be done a certain way, then those things will happen that way, because without the boys, there's no show.
Have you heard any good conspiracy theories lately? I know you're always looking over your shoulder.
Well, they're not theories when they're true, but yes.
Yes, the Lord of the Flat Earth, as he has been referred to more than a few times, you are not shy in going against the grain. I feel like when people pick that fight with you, and it just seems like you're so mentally ahead of them, it's almost like sport for you as you debate. How did you get the gift of debate when it comes to expressing your views and defending your position?
Well, with me, everything's always in research. Show me research, show me evidence, show me actual proof, not just, you know, hearsay or pictures or because someone else said so. So with that, that's usually my whole thing is, you know, I try to tell people to just look at it logically and try to see both sides. Like, I believe their side of the story at one point too, so I know both sides. So I think I have the advantage just off of that alone, is that I do know both sides because I once was a believer in what they believe in also.
You got to love that. You got to love that kind of enthusiasm. Do you feel like storytelling has become a lost art in professional wrestling?
Absolutely. I'm constantly complaining about that and constantly trying to instill that into my students. It's the art of storytelling, because I tell them life is storytelling. That's the greatest thing about life, period. Life has always been storytelling. It hasn't changed on anything. Any form of entertainment is always a story. Every single thing. So why should we now take that away from wrestling?
I feel like that is the biggest downfall that this industry has, that's the challenge that it has right now. You forget that's what this is. I mean, it's not a soap opera, but the storytelling should be there to make you care about these characters. I mean, you know, you've got two people in the ring doing their best to entertain, but why are they there? Why are they doing it? What's the conflict that's trying to be resolved? I think that gets lost in the shuffle way too much.
Yep. I don't know where that started. I don't know where it came from. But yeah, that's kind of been the dying art of wrestling. Is there's no more storytelling. The matches are just matches for the sake of matches. Whereas it used to be, you go out there and you told a story, and within 5 minutes, people in the crowd can attach themselves to that match and understand what story is going on there.
Now, I don't mean to interrupt, and I don't mean to ask you a question that might have a long answer, but I always hear everyone always says they got to tell the story. They got to tell the story. And no one ever gives an example of what is it to tell the story. So if you're, like, talking to one of your students, how might you explain what storytelling is, or how what it would be an example to you of a good story you saw told in the ring?
Well, the overall story, well, most people get on that of, well, what would be the story? And they miss the simplest answer. Every single match, the story is there's two competitors and they both want to win. Why do they want to win? Because winning gets you ahead in the company. The more matches you win, the more money you make. The more money you make, the more matches you win, the more title shots you get. You become champion, you're now the top of that company. So that is the story itself, is it's a fight and someone, and they both want to win. Someone has to win. And then you just set your story up different ways. But the overall story is it's a fight. Like, that's the story. How many bar fights have you seen where guys are doing flips off of a top of a bar and dropping elbows and stuff like that? So if you focus too much just on the moves, then you lose the story. You lose the reason as to why these two guys are fighting in the first place.
And I think they're having trouble getting it back, because I think the wrestling fan nowadays is, I don't know if they're more savvy, but they certainly have more information than they've ever had before. And maybe they're more educated on some of the specifics and what goes on behind the curtain. So it's tough to fool them, but I don't think they need to be fooled. Because I think a good story is what everybody wants. I mean, that's why.
Right. You don't have to fool. Yeah. You don't have to fool anybody. They bought a ticket. So they come there wanting to get this story. And when they go see a movie, they're not going there hoping to be fooled by the movie. They're going in and they're accepting that story of the movie. There's not a single person watching a movie sitting in their seat going, "Ha, that guy didn't really get shot. He's just an actor." No, they let themselves get into those characters. So just by them buying a ticket and coming to the show, it's them willing to come in and get the story and understand this story. So it's not the fans that have changed. The wrestlers have stopped giving the story to the fans. And they're starting to let the fans that think they know the inner workings dictate what they do. Because that's the bottom line. If you haven't done it, then you don't know. Like, no fan is smart. They don't know anything. They think they know, but they don't know because you haven't done it.
Mm-hmm. That right there is the most accurate statement you will ever hear on this show. And I hope that everybody out there that's listening heard it, because that is important information. Bryce, you're going to be with us on September 7th, and we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, not only for coming to GPW to work, but for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're on your way to a show right now because
I'm actually sitting in the parking lot right now. So I got to go in there and make this money.
Bryce never sleeps, and we are honored, and it is a privilege to welcome you to Global Professional Wrestling. I am sure you are going to dazzle the bejesus out of every human being at the Posen Dome on the 7th. And thank you for taking time tonight to talk with us. Your insight into this business is refreshing, and you are not only a sexy mofo, but you're one entertaining mofo.
Thank you. Thank you. I do my best, and that's all I can do. I don't know how to do anything else.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Bryce Benjamin. Bryce, we'll see you on September 7th.
I'll see you on the 7th. Mofo, out.
Oh, my God, it's like interviewing royalty. I have such an adrenaline rush right now because, it's hard to not mark out. That's a word that everybody uses. It's hard to not be the fan that I am when you're talking to someone like that. Once upon a time, I interviewed Jim Ross, and it was great fun to do it, but I was so amped up because here I am talking to one of my heroes, and Bryce Benjamin is just a spectacularly special kind of athlete, and you guys might have to take the reins of the show for a while I calm down. I might need a Ritalin.
Yeah,
oh, man, Turtle, you were kind of quiet. Didn't you have any questions for Bryce Benjamin?
I wasn't really. I was more interested in just listening because he's an interesting person. I learned a lot about him just sitting here, listening to him. let everybody else ask, and right. I just take everything in.
Yeah.
Turtle is no stranger to Bryce Benjamin, because Turtle was one of the lead officials at Crash Tested back when the N-Words had their title run. So you have intimate experience with Bryce, so he's no stranger to you.
Yeah, and I've actually been in the ring as an official with pretty much every character he has used.
When did you...
Even his recent one.
When did you do that? Where were you an official when he was Jesus Bryce?
It was at Northern Lights a few months ago.
Did the following came to Northern Lights?
It was just him, I believe.
Oh, that's cool. And who did he work that night?
He was in a fatal four-way with Vanessa Azur, Mr. Kate, and, I forgot his name. But he was another...
I'm not a big fan of that Mr. Kate.
Well, because she punched you in the face a couple times?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I'll be honest with you. If you've punched me in the face, I probably am not your biggest fan.
Who hasn't punched Steve in the face?
Wow, that's deserved, I guess. Did I hear another knock, Martez, or am I hearing things in my old age?
No knock.
Okay, good. Thank you. Gentlemen.
Yeah, maybe you have mice in your wall or something.
I might. Reactions to the Sexy Mofo. What do you guys think? Tell me what you got out of what we just did. Don't all speak up at once.
I learned a lot about his wrestling career. it was an interesting story. And I'm definitely looking forward to working with him again on the 7th. I may not be in the ring with him as an official. Well, maybe, you never know. Or even wrestling him. But just being in the locker room with him is always entertaining.
No doubt about that. And Tom Heisman is going to have his hands full with the debuting Bryce Benjamin. And, I liked his answer. You know, he likes to go to smaller promotions and get in there and do great work. And, we've been around a while. You know, we're not gigantic, but, you know, I think he fits into what we're trying to do. And, I hope he enjoys himself enough on September 7th to want to come back in October and November because, a guy like that wreaking havoc is good for business, and I think the fans are really going to love him.
I hope he enjoys the death spiral.
The death spiral?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Just 1 week ago, you were talking about how GPW's in a death spiral.
No. That was a person that had been worn down, beaten up, injured, frustrated, upset. After an event like Sunday, my batteries are recharged. So the death spiral is over. That was a little bit of manic depression on my part, I think.
So are you saying there's a future for GPW Fractional North?
How can there not be a future with people like the Turtle, people like Bryce Benjamin, like Zamiel, like Marche Rocket, Jack Moody, Jake Andrews, the Bruise Brothers. The list goes on and on.
Ring, a building, and insurance, for one.
Well, you know what? Sometimes in the darkest hour, epiphanies occur, and you start to see things differently, and maybe you can make some differences along the way. So never count out the gold standard.
I'm begging you to pick a new name. I'm going to start calling it the Shelton Benjamin Standard.
Okay, you can do that.
Hey, Turtle, I like Macho Standard.
After Sunday, right?
The Macho Standard.
What was that, Steve?
Turtle, you feel recharged, right? You feel a little renewed.
You know, I'm definitely renewed. I mean, I'm still a little, you know, my brain still wanders around when I have my moments of just sitting here thinking. But I'm better than I was last week, thanks to that show. It couldn't have gone any better once we got the kinks out. And, you know, just listening to the crowd, it was...
No, there were no kinks.
Ray Davies was at this event?
Wow, that is a dramatic use of a rock reference. I appreciate that. No, there were no kinks of that nature at this particular show.
Or just like fetish stuff then.
Indeed. Sunday showed me that we, as a unit, are more capable than I thought. I thought we'd be able to do it, but I didn't think it would be done as well. You know, we didn't have much to work with. There was no money involved at a show like that. There's no sound system. There's no bells and whistles. There's a ring. There are wrestlers. And then there is what they make of it. And that little group in that photo at the finale of the little video thing I put together, that was 8 people working as one. And that is what brought me here to begin with. I believed in GPW when I signed on as a ticket taker and the guy that carried Steve Kenton's bags for the first 2 months of my existence. You know, what has come since has been unexpectedly joyous, but in recent months it's been a little trying. But then, you know, I saw what it could be without any support behind it, and it made me think, well, if Turtle and I can do that, then I don't think there's much that Turtle and I can't do.
Ooh, because I think that's as good to hear, because I think if Martez would probably agree with me that last week you two were pretty much saying everything is done. Well, let's hope we make it to Christmas.
You know what? Even in, you know, sometimes in life, you get knocked down and you get to a point where you don't know if you can get up again. And, you know, that might have been where I was last week, but I'm not there now. I have been paying for it all week on social media. People think I'm bipolar, but it's not true. It's just, you know, now that the batteries have been recharged a little bit, I'm more myself again, and, you know, things are going to change for the better.
I see. You suppose there could ever be a possible future where maybe Steve and Turtle branch off and create their own promotion?
If we win the lottery, there could be a future in that.
No doubt. You know, I would stand side to side with the Turtle any day of the week and twice on Sunday. I always feel like he has my back. And although the evil Steve from last week put him in a strange match on September 7th, it's still an opportunity for a title. And he is as deserving a title shot as anybody. And I feel that he will persevere and be successful in that match. And then in October, he will be right where he wants to be, going for the gold. So, you know, maybe I didn't get there the right way, but I got there nonetheless.
Now, once again, for everyone listening, who once again is, we talk about the triple threat. Who is the current Vision Division champion? And when does this triple threat match, when does the title shot happen? On September 7th or sometime in the future?
Basically, right now, Jason Hades, the legendary Chicago wrestling performer, is our current Vision Division champ, and he has a title match September 7th. He's defending the title against Kalmar the Raider. The Mighty Viking gets his rematch. They put on a great show in August, and it was so great that I felt Kalmar deserved his rematch immediately, so we're going to get that done. So, assuming Turtle can get his work done on September 7th, come October the 5th at GPW's Hell's Bells, Turtle will have a title opportunity against one of those two gentlemen. Either way, I think that would be a spectacular match whether it be Turtle versus Hades or Turtle versus Kalmar. I mean, there'll be plenty of people standing in that arena wanting to see that matchup. But Turtle, you feel pretty good either way, right?
Yeah, I feel really good. Both of them are great competitors. I've actually known Jason Hades since I broke into the business. I was actually watching him wrestle when he was a rookie, and he knew me as a rookie, and he's helped me out. But before I even worry about who the champ is, I got to get through two other guys and survive that match in order to worry about October.
Turtle, how would you feel if the fan vote ended today and it was Bo Tatum?
Well, I would probably be worried. But at the same time, I've been through so much this year alone that there's nothing that can keep me down. Nothing that's going to stop me from getting what I want. I told everybody I have goals. And if I got to go through Bo Tatum, of all people, to get to the top, then I'm going to try my damnedest to knock Bo Tatum out.
Well, I believe you have the most can-do attitude of anybody that works at Global. So if you dream it, I believe you can be it. And I think we'll see that without a doubt. Right now, it's you and T. Like I said, Bo Tatum is leading at the Cubhouse. But you know who is getting some surprising votes since Sunday, and we put the video up on YouTube through Articulator SK's site, and I put it on Facebook today. People are giving Gold Baldy some love, even though he didn't fare well against Sky Bruise or Sky Blue or whatever you want to call her. He has caught the eye of a few of the GPW faithful, and I've gotten a few votes for Gold Baldy now. So Sideshow being represented strongly in the race to who gets the final spot in the triple threat.
That'll be quite interesting to see if Gold Baldy wins this vote, because you still have Gold Baldy as the Sideshow, and Big T was part of the Wild Side, and they had their moments. So,
Turtle, you could be stuck
nice
between a rock
alone.
And a hard place.
That's pretty much it. Or kind of like two women fighting over me.
Yeah, that's probably
you're
never
no stranger
happened.
To that. Say hi to say hi to all of them. Say hi to all. Say hi to Tita. Say hi to all of them. Say hi to Miranda.
Now, speaking of, we've beaten this triple threat match to death now. What other matches are coming up at this event? It's only a couple weeks away. I know you had some new matches added, so what are they?
Well, let's see. We know Shauna Reed and our champion Miranda Wrights are going to lock up.
No pun intended.
What, huh?
No pun intended.
No pun intended. We know that there's going to be a second triple threat match. This time for number one contender to the tag team title, and you're going to get Urban Country, that's Jay Cross and Willie DeBomb Richardson, versus the Real Men of Genius of Jack Moody and Jake Andrews with Meg Money. And you're going to get one of the unlikeliest popular tag teams in Big Daddy Dino and the beautiful one, Ryan Matthews, who's also the Battle Royal champ. So that ought to be a spectacular match. And then the winner of that match is going to have to turn around and go up against the Bruise Brothers later that night. And Urban Country, Jay Cross, has some real momentum going in. He was spectacular on Sunday.
That's why I always interrupt people, because I'm afraid there's dead air. See what happens when I don't interrupt?
Well, I'm trying to cordon off my comments so others can talk.
Yeah.
And there we
Jay
go
Cross
again.
Jay Cross is a beast. Jay Cross is a beast, and I think him and Urban Willie are going to kick a lot of butt, and I think they're going to go win those tag titles again.
Well, I'll let you in a little bit behind the curtain, after the event, Jay Cross pulled me aside, and he is not especially thrilled with the way Urban Country has been treated by me and by Global as far as the last few months. He feels like they have been working hard, making excellent matches, and not getting the opportunities they feel they're due. So, you know, they're a little disgruntled. I hope it doesn't carry over onto the seventh. I hope they can get themselves right, because if they come in distracted, when you go up against guys like Jack Moody, who always have ulterior motives, you got to be real careful, because they are opportunists. And, geez, Big Daddy Dino, what can you say about that guy?
And don't forget, you got Meg Money out there, who's a big influence.
Yeah, she is a shark, no doubt about that. You know, she'll be at ringside supporting her team. Hopefully the ref, maybe it'll even be you, Turtle, calling that one. But you got to keep your head in a swivel, because she's up to no good always. And she has her client's best interests in her mind. And, you know, she wants gold. She has said it. She also wants my job, which she said. So that would be interesting. Meg Money is general manager. I imagine I would be unemployed at that point, but you never know what's going to happen.
So we got six matches set up so far. We've got the triple threat, which we all know about, Big T and Turtle, and the mystery opponent who you can vote on at the whatever social media GPW has that are some mail a letter to Steve. And then we've got the actual Vision Division Championship, the new champion, Jason Hades, going up against the former champion who he defeated, Kelmar the Raider. And then we've got the Women's Championship, Miranda Wrights, is going to lock down Shawna Reed, who is traveling from Ohio just to beat Miranda's behind. And then we've got the tag team turmoil match there. If I could steal something from Monday Night Raw, the triple threat there with your real men of genius and Dino and Barney Rubble. And then we've got Urban Country. And whoever wins that match goes on later, which doesn't seem fair because the Vision Division triple threat gets a month off. But they got to go fight the Blue Bruise Brothers later in that night. Plus, Bryce Benjamin smacking the studs off of Tom Heisen's leather jacket. And you say I don't pay attention. Now, who's fighting Marche Rocket?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Still more match announcements to come as we draw closer and closer to High Road. It's turned into a very intriguing card.
It's like 10 days away.
10 days away. We've got some new guest stars.
If I can interrupt one second, Macho Ghost, you kind of said something very interesting.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, the guys in the triple threat match for division number one contender match, they technically don't need a month off. They can go get that title that night.
Oh, man, what do you say? Two triple threat matches, Steve. Put the winner of the triple threat contenders match in with the title match. What do you say?
Well, the unique nature of the Vision Division title, I mean, you know, anything can happen. I mean, Jason Hayes.
You've never explained to me what that means. I ask you every week.
What now?
I ask you every week, what does the Vision Division title mean, and you never tell me.
Well, the Vision Division title is defendable from first bell till the end of the Battle Royal. So, you know, at any point in the show, in the locker room, over at the Fishstick Cafe, in the parking lot, by Steve Kenton's camera, by the front door, by the back door, at the bathroom, wherever you are, if you're in Vision Division
Posen Village Hall,
you could go to Posen Village Hall, sure. You could take a small car trip next door to Midlothian if you want. The point is, anytime between the hours of 7 and the final victory raise in the Battle Royal, that Vision Division title can be won and lost.
That's something I don't think the people realize all the time.
Well, you know what? People take their opportunities seriously. Unless they feel that they have a legitimate chance to get their belt, they pick their moments. Jason Hades could be standing buying a hot dog and end up losing that title before the match with Kalmar ever happens. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes on, you know, one of these shows. I've noticed of late that the Vision Division champions arrive later and later to curtail some of those shenanigans. But, you know, like I said, anything could happen. We had that wacky month where, wasn't it Kalmar lost his title when he got flipped out of the ring? Or was that Tom that lost? I forget the scenario. Turtle, you remember better than I do.
Yeah, that was the night I hurt myself. Tommy got eliminated, and then Kalmar got eliminated and landed right on top of Tommy, and that's how he lost the title, and Kalmar
right.
took it home.
So, you know, technically, that can happen at any time. So, you know, Turtle may decide that once he's if let's say Turtle loses, let's say one of the other competitors defeats Turtle and he's out of the running, Turtle could interfere in the Vision match and end up walking away with the title. So, I mean, Turtle's a fairly straightforward and honorable man, and he's a superhero. Superheroes don't behave that way typically. I would think Turtle would stop shenanigans like that from happening before he would partake in such shenanigan himself. But like I said, it's a constantly defended situation, and anything can happen at a GPW event, usually does.
So it's kind of like it could be a pinfalls count anywhere situation if someone wants to attack the Vision Division champion before his actual title match, or even after, or during.
Honestly, you could if you win the title and you're walking back through the curtain to go change your clothes to go home, if someone whacks you with a chair on the other side of the curtain before you make it, pins you, you're done.
So notice, is there a disqualification rule or a count-out rule then in a Vision official Vision Division match, seeing as there are no rules when it's not an official match?
That's right. Well, I mean, you have to win by pinfall. There's, I guess he's right, Turtle. I mean, Vision Division matches, would be a no DQ because, you know, there's no rules really, right?
There's some exceptions. I believe if weapons are used in the ring, that still can get someone disqualified. But I don't know. You wrote the rules.
Well, you enforce the rules, so you're supposed to know the rules. You're a referee, for God's sake.
Martez, this is why I ask every week. Now we got to get all the rules written down somewhere.
I leave that kind of stuff for Turtle to do. He's the senior official. He's the guy with the big referee paycheck.
Make sure you get Jamie Olsen out there to explain all this.
I will have to do something. Although I've heard rumors that a certain man with a Kenny Rogers-like hairstyle might be returning on September 7th.
Really? Did he quit his other job?
I don't know.
Well, if he didn't, throw him back out again.
See, I'm the general manager, but I am not the ownership. The people that sit on the GPW board of directors, everybody has someone to answer to, myself included. So I have the power to do a great many things, but I am far from omnipotent.
Turtle Martez, I had to make Steve a promise that I wouldn't say what I want to say, but I'm dying to say it.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Hey, can I say it in November?
We'll talk about that. We'll discuss what we're going to discuss in November.
Man, oh man, and once again, I always say it every week, the opinions of the macho ghost are the macho ghost's opinions. So if you want to be mad at someone or get in touch with someone because you didn't like an opinion, well then you find me and you leave Steve alone. Do you understand, you bunch of cowards?
Strong words from our friend the Spooky Specter.
Yeah, I got nothing good to say about a certain people somewhere.
Well, that was pleasantly vague, and I appreciate that.
Over the rainbow.
Let's see. What else do we have to discuss? Turtles, do you have any predictions for September 7th? Because this is my last GPW weekly until the event. Next week, I'm going to find Martez and Macho a guest co-host again, and they will take the final show before the event, so they will be hyping it like no others. And Macho, I'm holding you to your best behavior.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I'd like to say, this is a perfect opportunity here for an hour and a half. And whether or not we have a co-host who acts as a guest or a co-host and we just talk about the event, you know, all you GPW wrestlers, you can call in. I'm not begging for it. I'm just letting you know, you can call in and have as much time as you want to hype yourself up, put yourself over, or you could just sit at home and watch TV.
Oh, my God.
It's a free opportunity to talk about yourself, you freaking egomaniacs.
It's like you're reading my mind. Yes. We are an open forum here. So, yes, it would be great if everybody called in and gave you a few minutes to talk about their upcoming matches.
If you're too lazy to make a video, then just call in. You don't even have to stand up for it.
It's a good point.
Hire somebody to hold the phone to your ear or get an earpiece so you don't even have to move your arms.
These are all valid points. Next Wednesday, I will be doing the GPW General Manager Facebook address, the final one before the show. That is a day ahead of time. Usually we do it on Thursday, but I am otherwise engaged Thursday evening. I can't do things. I've got things I have to do.
Steve, you shouldn't be getting engaged. You're already married.
That's right. If I have a few moments, I might try and call in and check on you and see how you're doing with the show. And I will certainly endeavor to do that. But like I said, when it was UT and Martez, there were parts of that show that I thought were better than some of the shows that I've had. So you guys are more than capable. GPW Weekly is a family affair.
That's gross.
Not that family.
I do, yeah. You're not like talking about incest.
No, not whatsoever.
Are you talking about that show from the 70s with Brian Keith? We had those two kids and Mr. French.
No, I'm not talking about that either. Negative. Another match that got announced when the promo aired earlier in the week. Is Metalhead. Metalhead is obsessed with Bo Tatum's return.
Ooh, I forgot about that one.
Bo Tatum, to my knowledge, will not be at High Road, but I didn't think he was going to be at Supernova. I didn't think he was going to be at the 5th of July Spectacular, but he just seems to show up out of nowhere. So, you know, if he ends up showing up on September 7th, that'd be interesting. So Metalhead is
now, does Metalhead have a match or not? Cause I know he was angry. It looked like he was pacing around in somebody's basement.
Yeah, he was angry. He's got a match with, a person that he knows pretty well. That would be Mitch Blake.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
In a Falls Count Anywhere match. So, in the words of a great man, there may be some plunder.
Oh, man. So now we're up. We got seven matches, not counting a title shot. And then I left out the Battle Royal as well. There will be a Battle Royal to end the show as usual, correct?
Yes, sir.
So now we got eight matches and a title match. That's nine matches.
It's really coming together, isn't it?
You tell me. I'm asking the questions and doing the math. Do you have any more surprises up your sleeve? I know Cypher will be there. You said you turned his contract over to somebody before he dumped some Ice Mountain water in your face.
Yes.
Or are you a DeSanti guy?
I also said the bitch must pay. You know.
Well, I thought you were talking to your. Never mind.
Of all the people in the Wild Side that I have been trying to exact a little revenge from. Cypher, I feel like there's more to Cypher than meets the eye. And a person in the GPW locker room that has quite a bit of pull came up to me and asked if they could take him under their wing and to try to bring out the best in him. And, you know, I thought that that would be a great idea. So we will see on September 7th just exactly what kind of gold standard makeover that this gentleman has planned for our friend the Cypher. I'm not going to hold the water splash in my face. I was pretty irritated at the time. He ruined my laptop. He got my phone wet. He ruined my suit. It wasn't water in there, just so you know.
It was vermouth.
Might have been. Colonel, what do you think about Mitch Blake versus Metalhead?
I believe that that match is going to, you know.
Colonel just doesn't want to referee it.
You know, you're probably right, because I don't think I can hold back anything. I may be impartial. But, you know, honestly, that match is going to be brutal because there's still bad blood between them. I still believe that match shouldn't be happening. It should be Turtle Rage getting a tag team title shot, but that's neither here or there. As for that match, it's going to go all over the place. I think the concession stand is going to get tore up. Steve Kenton might lose a camera. Something's going to go bonkers in that matchup. It's not going to be pretty. We're going to probably need a lot of security.
Yeah. You make great points, all of those. I can definitely tell you. Macho Ghost had said a few minutes ago, do I have any surprises up my sleeve? High Road, you will see things you've never seen before. You will see opportunities you have never thought would come. There will be things happening that will defy description that people will be talking about for weeks afterwards. If you don't have tickets yet, you got to get them, because the playing field shifts at High Road. There are a lot of combustible elements there, a lot of heat between combatants. I guarantee you by the end of that show, you're going to be left gasping at the outcomes. I think it's going to be intense. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a one-of-a-kind event, and I'm looking forward to it.
Man, Turtle, that's some hype. What do you think?
I agree totally that this show is going to be probably one of the best shows this year. It's going to top July, I believe. We got awesome matches, opportunities for all, probably some the more new faces, maybe some old faces. And I'm looking forward to this show probably more than any show this year.
We've got a lot riding on the High Road, and it will not disappoint. Martez, let's take it home. So many people to thank for tonight's show. Let's start with the amazing Turtle. Turtle, it's always a pleasure to have you join us. We'll see you on September 7th. Macho Ghost, I couldn't do this show without you. Thank you for your insight. As always, your questions were perfect tonight.
Oh, man, I'm Kurt Hennig.
And thanks to Martez for dialing everything up for us and making us sound way better than we are. Thanks, of course, to our very special guest, Bryce Benjamin. He will be in action versus Tom Heisman on September 7th at High Road. Thank you for listening to this show. We appreciate you. We do it for you. So thank you, and keep living an extraordinary life. Good night, everybody.
The
This is GPW Weekly on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash.